From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's Monday, the 30th day of March 2009. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's the Senior Grains Analyst at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. And then later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons right here in Champaign County. In agricultural news, USTR has moved to delay the next meeting of the WTO. Markup on the energy bill could begin this week, and a coalition of some four dozen groups is urging the Obama administration not to raise ethanol blends. Dave Dickey will have details of these stories later in the half hour. Speaking of ethanol, earlier this year, Darrell Good told us how the homegrown fuel is connected to the energy markets and the price of corn. We'll hear all about that connection from him again today. Hey, don't forget, in just 26 minutes, we'll check in with the folks at Chesapeake Energy to discuss the global agricultural weather forecast. It all happens right here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of WILL Public Radio from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123. Or email to cooley@admworld.com.
In Chicago on this Monday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The nearby May soft red winter wheat, 512.5, 5.25 lower on the afternoon. July contract, the harvest month, at 525.25, down rather up 5.25. In September, up 5.75 at 551.5 cents in the soft red winter wheat. From the corn pit in Chicago, a 0.75 cent loss today. Down 0.75 at 386.25 for the May. July at 396.75, a settlement 0.75 lower. September futures at $4.06, down a penny. December at 418.25, down one. And the March contract for 2010 at $4.29.75. March corn down 2.25. May corn a penny and a half lower at $4.38. May soybean futures $9.45, down 12.5 today. July at 902, 13.25 lower. August at 886, and they finished 14.75 lower. September futures at 854.5, down 17.25. November beans $8.42, down 18.75. The January at 852.5, 19 cents lower. May bean meal at 230 lower at 281.50. May oil at 32.04, down 38. April live cattle $1.50 lower at 82.82.5. June at $80.07.5, down $1.50. The March feeders a dime higher at 93.12. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil is now trading the nearby May contract at $48.41 a barrel. That's down $3.97. June futures of 50.20 settlement price down $3.82. April ethanol at $1.56.7, 2 cents lower. May futures down two as well at $1.56.8. Natural gas at $3.75, a penny and 3 cents higher on the day, but the June is unchanged at $3.87.4. RBOB gasoline currently trading at $1.38.2, down a dime and a half for the afternoon. And the April heating oil, this is diesel fuel, $1.34.1, 9.1 lower on the afternoon. Propane futures at 68.5 cents, down 3 cents, and the gold futures at $915.50 on their settlement, down $7.70. The Dow Jones Industrial Average currently stands at 74.62. That's down 3.13 on the afternoon. The U.S. dollar at 85.86 is up 0.72 for the day. Here's where the weather forecast lands on the afternoon, according to our own Mike Sola. He says tonight across the state of Illinois, increasing cloudiness, a few showers and some thunderstorms. They'll arrive in the west and then spread to the east. In Indiana, it'll become partly cloudy this evening. Lows, says Mike, from 34 in the north to 50 in the south. Tomorrow in western Illinois, rain ending early, then becoming partly sunny. In eastern Illinois and Indiana, cloudy, showers, widely scattered thunderstorms. They'll diminish from west to east during the afternoon. Highs tomorrow will range from 50 in the northern part of Illinois to 65 in the southeastern part of the state of Indiana. The medium range forecast continued to point to an active weather pattern over the next week. Soil conditions currently range from excessively wet in north to slightly dry in the Ohio River Valley.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Lernard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products, including Asgrow's new Roundup Ready 2-yield soybeans. Lernard Seed Service provides services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. 217-497-2270.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Monday afternoon. Time to check in on the agricultural futures markets. And Kurt Kimmel with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, where he serves as the senior grains analyst, is with us this afternoon. Hi, Kurt. How are you doing today?
Good.
You playing baseball yet?
We're practicing. We're supposed to be outdoors this afternoon. We'll see how that goes. But we're still 2 weeks away from our first game.
Oh, we don't have our opener tonight with the Diamond Dogs out of Mahomet, but we have a scrimmage. I guess we do call it our opener with the Champaign Titans in Mahomet, Taylor North. So if they want to come out and see us play, we can. Kurt and I both have kids that are aging on traveling teams and talk about that from time to time. We also talk about relatively speaking, the same vein, what's been happening in the marketplace. What'd you see today in Chicago?
Well, the grain markets were sort of on the defensive from the outside markets. Once again, we had lower crude oil values. Stock market was under pressure most of the day. And we saw mainly a little bit of position squaring ahead of tomorrow morning's reports. We have the acreage report estimates and the stocks positions report. On the acreage report, as we all will be aware of, that's the top line on the supply-demand balance sheet, and analysts will be anxious to see those estimates as we plug those numbers in. Once those numbers are out, the trade will quickly go to what type of yield to put on the supply-demand balance sheet to give them an idea of what type of production number to work with for this crop year. Then secondly, on the stocks and positions report, this report's sort of a key report. It's going to dictate or show us what demand pace we're on and who has some ownership in what areas of the countryside. So there will be a lot of numbers to decipher tomorrow at 7:30, which will give us probably a pretty exciting opening a trade at 9:30 tomorrow.
Let's start with the acreage figure to begin with. What do you think that the trade is currently positioning themselves as that number for tomorrow morning?
On corn, the average guess is right around 84.5 million acres. That's down about 1.5 million acres from last year, 84.5. The range, we're clear down to 80 million, clear up to 89 million acres. You know, I mean, it's a wide range of what the analysts expect. Analysts have good cases for each side of the range, so we'll let the numbers fall where they are tomorrow on that. I'd say anything below 84.5 would be sort of price positive on the corn. Bean-wise, the average analyst guess is 79.2. That's up about 3.5 million acres. The range is anywhere as low as 75 million acres up to 83 million acres. To be bearish beans, I would say we need to be above 80 million acres. So 80 million acres or higher would be sort of price negative beans. Anything below 80 million, we'll say it's probably fairly well built in. Then also, too, we'll be looking at the wheat numbers, all wheat. We'll be looking at spring wheat. Then you break it on down from there. But as far as the acres go, they've been well debated, and that'll be the sort of the market maker for the first 5 to 10 minutes.
What do you think about the quarterly grain stocks report? What numbers are they working with there?
On the corn stocks, about 7 billion bushels.
Mm-hmm.
That compares to last year, 6.85. So, you know, we're looking at a few more corn bushels around, about 141 million bushels, larger than last year. On the soybeans, we're looking at 1.3 billion bushels. And that's about 114 billion bushels below last year's number. That's kind of reflective of the demand pace we're on. Ever since last fall, we've been seeing a slower corn demand pace. And, of course, we've seen a much aggressive bean sales pace. So I expect those numbers come fairly close to the average guess there. And what will be the key on the stocks report is it'll show who has what grain stored where, and that'll sort of give the trade a little bit of an idea of what to do with old crop grain stocks as we go through the second quarter of 2009.
Did you take a position to day trade for fun tomorrow? And if you did, what'd you do?
Well, I pretty well get my head back on here. I was gone all last week on spring break
with
the kids, so I was busy getting back readjusted and putting out fires from last week. But from a speculative point that you mentioned there, we saw guys being buyers of corn with the idea that the corn numbers could be somewhat neutral to friendly. And we did see some selling in the bean complex on ideas that the bean numbers could be a little bit negative. Also on the beans, there's news that Argentine beans are going to become a little bit more readily available on the marketplace. And also, too, the Asian sales might slow down a little bit. So those are the two favorite speculative trades we put on today ahead of the report. We did try to buy some wheat futures but did not get that job done. Wheat futures did close a little higher today. We're seeing that Black Sea wheat is becoming overvalued. Also, too, there's talk that maybe the wheat there has been overbooked, and so therefore Egypt and some of these other countries could come to the United States here to be a buyer to pick up near-term needs there, Todd.
Okay, thanks much.
Very good.
Hey, Kirk Kimmel is with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, where he serves as their senior grains analyst and joins us here on the Closing Mark Report each and every Monday afternoon.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Kathy Ferguson in Morris at 815-941-3758. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report. It's a Monday afternoon. Take time if you get the opportunity to visit our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. There you can listen to this program and other ag programming. In fact, if you can't get to that, you can always dial this number. It's 217-333-3434 and hear a portion of the future segments from the pre-opening and the closing market reports and a bit of the numbers as well, all at willag.org or 217-333-3434. Dave Dickey's here now with the news.
In agricultural news, U.S. Trade Representative Ron Kirk reportedly has been telling foreign officials that the U.S. believes it would be unwise to schedule another World Trade Organization ministerial meeting before this fall. Kirk and other Obama administration trade officials say they need more time to review the negotiating positions of the previous administration and to develop strategies of their own. Senate Energy and Natural Resources Committee Chairman Jeff Bingaman plans this week to begin the process of marking up new comprehensive energy legislation, but he says the committee likely will not complete the job for a number of weeks. Bingaman did not set a target date to complete work on the omnibus measure and move it to the Senate floor. Meanwhile, a coalition of environmental, agricultural, business, and consumer groups is urging the Obama administration not to raise the amount of ethanol blended into gasoline until testing is finished to determine if higher ethanol blends would cause harm. A letter to USDA Secretary Tom Vilsack and other Obama administration officials says, quote, "We collectively and strongly oppose such an ill-considered approach as contrary to scientific integrity and potentially harmful to our environment, public health, and consumers." The letter was signed by some four dozen groups, including the Sierra Club, American Lung Association, American Meat Institute, and the National Petrochemical and Refiners Association. A dozen major agricultural organizations have adopted a white paper detailing key principles that the groups say Congress should consider when drafting climate change legislation. The broad principles in the white paper are an attempt to ensure any federal cap-and-trade emissions policy would benefit farmers and livestock producers. The groups signing on to the principles for greenhouse gas legislation represent represent general farm organizations, grain, livestock, and conservation. Still, there are a few notable absences, namely the American Farm Bureau Federation. That group says they question the potential benefits of a federal cap-and-trade program. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming at WILL. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, reminding you to visit our website. The address is willag.org. There you can sign up for our weekend newsletter. We've had some problems with that subscription, but I think we're working through them. Last weekend, we sent the letter without a problem to everybody on the list, I believe. If you didn't get it and you think you're on that list, just drop me an email at tgleason@illinois.edu. That's tgleason@illinois.edu, and we'll get it fixed. Hey, if you'd like to subscribe to our weekend newsletter, just hit subscribe over on the right-hand side of the page at willag.org. Now, up next, you know, the price of corn during much of the 2007 and 2008 calendar years was hooked directly to the price of crude oil. University of Illinois Extension Ag Economist Darrell Good explains how this connection works.
Well, the argument runs like this, that, ethanol use of corn is a major use of corn now, and at the margin, the argument was that's where the value of corn would be established. So the argument was you start at crude oil price that then translates into a wholesale price of gasoline. Then you can calculate an equivalent price of ethanol based on its energy value relative to gasoline plus the blender's tax credit. And then the value of ethanol would indicate what price ethanol producers could afford to pay for corn. So the argument was you go crude, gasoline, ethanol, corn. And for a period of time, really most of 2007, first half of 2008, or longer, that relationship held fairly tightly, although correlations are not perfect. At a given level of crude oil, for example, gasoline prices do vary somewhat. It's not a perfect correlation. And for a given level of gasoline, ethanol prices don't correlate one for one. And similarly, for a given price of ethanol, corn prices vary a little bit around that. So as you go from crude to corn, there is a correlation, but it's not perfect, and there is some noise in that. But it held fairly well for about an 18-month period, 2007 into 2008. The correlation between those were fairly strong. But now as we got into late 2008, what we saw when crude oil and gasoline prices broke really hard, ethanol prices did not come down nearly as rapidly as those prices. And the argument was that we got into a situation where the renewable fuel standards, the mandates, became binding, that ethanol blenders found themselves in a situation where they were required to buy and blend ethanol to meet the renewable fuel standards, regardless of price that they had to pay for it. And the argument goes, well, they'll have to pay whatever price of ethanol it takes to keep the ethanol producers in business because they're required to use the ethanol. So I think we did see several things happen late 2008. The relationship between crude and wholesale gasoline, that relationship deteriorated a little bit as the crack spread varied a lot. And then we broke a little bit the connection between gasoline and ethanol. And then the relationship between ethanol and corn, that relationship was not as tight either. So while the whole argument holds together, it's not a perfect correlation. There's a lot of noise in that. There's a lot of other things that influence price of all those commodities. But as we move back into 2009, and if the energy prices have bottomed, and we're starting a new year on mandates and the levels there, we may see those relationships come back into a little stronger relationship. I think the big question is going to be a lot of talk now about the blending wall as we move up and get closer and closer to having 10% of our fuel supply already in the form of ethanol. How do we expand ethanol use? Do we actually hit a wall where everything is blended to 10%? And now what do we do? Can we expand ethanol any further? I think that's going to be the question that's answered in 2009.
That was University of Illinois Extension Ag Economist Darrell Good. He says as the ethanol industry was expanding to meet the mandated needs of the reformulated fuel standard in the U.S., the price of corn hooked directly to the price of crude oil. But as the growth of that industry has slowed, other end users are playing a much larger role in pricing corn once again.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a Monday afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason. Time to check in on the agricultural cash grain market. Joining us from the Andersons right here in Champaign County is Lisa Jones. Good afternoon to you, Lisa.
Good afternoon, Todd. It's
been a while since we've talked.
It's been a long while. Yep, I got to fight the boys for it.
Well, you've got the stage this afternoon. Tell me what you see in the marketplace.
You know, it's been a pretty quiet day here. We have a lot of farmers who are waiting till the report tomorrow. Had a busy week last week, got rid of a lot of old DP and storage corn. So this week, guys are just on hold. See what the report will do tomorrow, see if we can't fight everything that's going on in New York.
So they got rid of a lot of corn that they already had priced out. Any new pricing action last week at all?
We had a little bit. I would say most guys aren't going over 10% for stuff sold in the fall. Guys are putting in offers. That's the big thing for tomorrow. We've been telling guys, get your offers in, because if it turns busy, you might miss the opportunity to sell.
Mm-hmm. And then right now, do you have a rough idea of your customer base? How much you actually think that they have left of their crop out in the marketplace to purchase?
In terms of crop for this year or crop for old year?
Old crop corn.
You know, I would say probably most guys are about 85% done. We have a lot of guys who are still figuring out exactly what they're going to do in terms of bringing in stuff out of the bins. But most guys have gotten out of what they had. Most of the stuff that's in here is stuff that's in here on free VP or delayed price, so they don't have any charges going against them. So they have a little bit of time to wait.
And what are your bids for the day, Lisa?
We are $3.78 for cash corn, $9.02 for cash beans.
Thank you much.
Yep, bye-bye.
Hey, Lisa Jones is with the Andersons, somebody from that office right here in Champaign County. Large Grain Elevator joins us each and every Monday afternoon to take a look at the cash grain market. You can hear them, if you'd like, again on our website at willag.org. Back in 2 minutes when we'll talk with the folks at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago about the agricultural weather forecast.
Are these people in your carpool?
I'm Mike Sola from the WILL Weather Department.
I'm Todd Gleason.
This is Lakshmi Singh of NPR News.
Whether you're coming or going, you depend on us to keep you informed. We depend on you for financial support to make that possible. Give to our member match fund today, and we'll use your dollars on April 15th to challenge others to help make great programs possible on WILL. Go to willpledge.org or call 217-244-9455.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. The mother of two small boys whose bodies were found in rural Putnam County says her heart is broken and she feels the judicial system failed her. The children of Amy Lichtenberg of Leroy were reported missing March 8th. That's when Lichtenberg says the boy's father allegedly failed to return them after a custody visit. Authorities say two boys' bodies matching the descriptions of 9-year-old Duncan Connolly and his 7-year-old brother Jack were found yesterday inside a car in Putnam County. An autopsy is planned for later today. The car was registered to Michael Connolly. The body of a man matching his description was found about 60 feet from the car. Lichtenberg says there are no words to express her pain. The former couple reportedly had a difficult relationship. A court order had barred Mike Connolly from contact with Lichtenberg. The Champaign County clerk believes reprinting ballots for voters in Urbana will cost the county between $10,000 and $15,000, and he plans to send the bill to the city. City Clerk Phyllis Clark originally did not hold a ballot lottery to determine the order of the parties in next week's municipal election. She decided Friday to do so after two candidates for mayor filed a lawsuit. That lottery takes place Wednesday, and while the county has to redo the ballot afterwards, early voting for Urbana voters has been suspended until then. County Clerk Mark Sheldon says the city should pay the expense, though there's no state law mandating it. Chicago aviation officials say O'Hare Airport will get $12 million in federal stimulus money to help improve existing infrastructure, but they don't expect any of that money to be used for an ongoing $15 billion airport expansion. Officials announced the money today. More than $5 million will be used to replace runway pavement, and $7 million will be used to widen a taxiway. Computer experts are watching to see how an insidious virus affects networks on Wednesday. April Fool's Day is when the worm known as Conficker is expected to run on infected machines. It's not known how many machines carry the worm, which originally caught people off guard by being transmitted when external sources like USB drives and CDs were opened with the autoplay feature on PCs. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Mark Report on a Monday afternoon. Time to check in on the agricultural weather forecast. On the line with us this afternoon, Mark Russo of Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Mark.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Okay, personal forecast for 5:45 this evening. We have opening day, really, for my son's baseball team in Muhammad. They're going to get rained on, and how cold are we going to be outside until about 9 o'clock tonight?
Well, the good news is that there is no rain in the forecast, as the main rain activity is going to be far west of the region. We're talking out into the plain states for this evening, so it looks dry as you go through this evening. Temperatures, though, will be a bit unseasonably cool for at least this time of year, and right now we're talking about temperatures in the low 50s, but as we approach here sunset, temperatures will be dropping to the upper 40s, so kind of a mixed bag, depending on, but as long as there's no rain, at least that's probably most beneficial to you and your son.
Yeah, no rain, no wind, but it sounds like it'll be a cold one nonetheless. We better go right on through the rest of that. Do we get rainfall once we get into the overnight hours?
Yeah, actually more so as we go through the morning hours tomorrow. Mid-morning, we see one wave of rain coming across the state of Illinois, let alone much of the Midwest, and actually that's one wave of rain of numerous waves. In fact, numerous storm systems here are on tap over the next couple of weeks, and with this past event that we saw over the weekend, that's really the first of numerous storm systems, and this a very active pattern is expected across the Midwest over the next couple weeks. Along with that, we do see cooler than normal temperatures, so from a fieldwork and early planning standpoint, not much is going to be accomplished here, at least throughout the early portion of April due to this pattern.
And then check in on what's been happening up in the Red River Valley. They've had a tough time.
Yeah, and unfortunately, it looks like there will be some additional issues here coming up. While we are seeing at least some receding of floodwaters up across that area, more precipitation is on the way, with actually this wave bringing rain to the Midwest is over the next 24 hours is going to be bringing snow up across that area, and that part of the country is also involved with this active pattern. So those issues look like they're going to persist here for quite some time.
Any place around the globe we need to check in on before I let you go?
No, pretty quiet, Todd. No major issues right now across the globe.
Across the rest of the planet? Good weather.
And other planets, too, Todd.
All right. Well, thanks much, Mark. We appreciate
it.
Mark Russo is with Chesapeake Energy. He's in Chicago, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. Happens on Monday afternoons.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
Hey, if I haven't said it lately, Dave Dickey and I both really appreciate the fact that you take the time to listen to us and the agricultural markets and information that we bring you each and every day. It means a great deal to us, and we just wanted to take time to thank you.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area.
Agrigold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
And that is this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. You have a great afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.